people that put gratitude in action. It took them 17 years, but in 2010, the convention started again and started moving around. My first one was in Williamsburg, so that was my first ECCO. You know, and I'm super grateful. Like, I don't want to get up here and do, like, the Academy Award speech, and I want to thank this person and this person and this person. But, like, I'm so grateful, and I'm overwhelmed to have this honor. Because I'm, like, not the circuit speaker. Like, I get, you know, it's that pressure of, like, oh, you got to bring the fire. You got to put a hit on the disease. Like, I put a hit on the disease every day that I stay clean. I answer the phone for a newcomer. That's how I put a hit on the disease.
Hell yeah.
But I'm so grateful that the committee believed in me and gave me this opportunity. I remember, like, you know, back in 2019 when Crystal called me and, like, she's like, are you going to ECNA? And I'm like, yeah. And she goes, okay, good, we need you to do the opening meeting. And I'm like, what? And I immediately teared up and started to cry. You know, because, like, it's such an honor to carry our message. It's such an honor to carry our message anyway, but, like, to be chosen to kick off a convention and, like, be up here, like, this is kind of, wow. But to be up here in front of, like, there's so many people in this room that I love and respect and that I've served with and I've heard share and I've seen the conventions, and to be a part of this and to be the person chosen is a total honor that blows me away. So I'm super grateful, and I'm eternally grateful for the God of my understanding that guided me to a simple, not spiritual, not religious program called Narcotics Anonymous that has changed my life and the lives of many. So again, I don't know what you're going to get. You know, I'm going to try and say the topic, gratitude into action, is an awesome topic. You know, but I was taught when I got here to have an attitude of gratitude and to do gratitude lists, and it's something that I continue to do, and I ask the woman that I sponsor to do on a daily basis. One called her name, she's like, well, how many days do I have to do it? I said, every day. She's like, well, I can't find anything to be grateful for. Because sometimes it's hard to find stuff to be grateful for when, like, the shit is hitting the fan and life on life's terms comes. It's hard to be grateful, and I'm grateful for the person that taught me that early on, you know? Like, cause sometimes it's like, okay, I had a cup of coffee and it was hot, and I made creamer. Like, that's where it starts, you know? Because sometimes it's the little things, and it's maintaining that attitude of gratitude that gets me through the day and gets me, you know, has kept me coming here and has kept me coming back and, like, gets me through those times on life's terms. So, you know, and like it says in our literature, like, just for today, you get a new perspective on my life, because there's some days, like, life just sucks, and I don't want to, you know, live. Like, this whole past year has been the longest, shortest, most crazy, upside down, full of loss, full of change, full of everything kind of year, like, ever in my life, you know, and, like, twists and turns and stuff that I never saw coming, and sometimes, you know, all that got me through was, like, grateful, like the 11th step kind of grateful, like be content with or without, fill in the blank. And you know, before I, you know, I get into my story, I want to take a moment of silence for everybody that we've lost in the last 15 months, whether it has been to the pandemic or an overdose or somebody that succumbs, you know, they gave into, like, their mental health challenges. I just want to take a couple moments and reflect on the gratitude of how they touched their life, how they touched your life. Thank you. All right, so how did I get here? I drove up from Virginia Beach today. I used to live in the east of the Bay Area, and I recently moved to Virginia Beach, and it was one of those, like, twists and turns, and I don't know how this happened and whatever, but, like, sometimes you guys taught me to, like, listen to the God of my understanding sometimes, and you guys taught me, like, sometimes to put gratitude into action is just sitting still and seeing what comes next. And you guys taught me that, like, you know, we just keep coming back no matter what, we don't worry, and I got a third step, and I got to practice, like, letting go, letting God, and like going into this pandemic, I was free to move about the country, and I was traveling all over the place, and I was working in a job that I had to fly a lot, and they were starting to like cancel flights and stuff, and I was working in a public place, and a public place where all the toilet paper and the Clorox and the water all sold out in like one day. And it was the same day that they canceled the NBA season, and I decided it was probably going to get real, and maybe I needed to do something else. And I ended up going back to my old company, and you know, you guys taught me how to do service work. Gratitude in Action through service work taught me how to be employable, taught me how to not to come out of the side of my head, taught me how to like stick through with commitment, and the company that I had worked with, I had worked with for like 10 or 11 years. So they welcomed me back in a territory, in a sales territory, which is in Virginia Beach. So I get to do an adult job, a grown-up job at the beach and make grown-up money, and that's like lost dreams awaken, new possibilities rise. Because like that wasn't the plan at all. I just happened to like look on the website and they're like, oh yeah, we have something over in, you know, whatever, Virginia Beach. And I'm like, dude, sign me up. So, you know, God has continued to take care of me and bless me since I got here, before I got here. Because before I got here, you know, we all know the story of our addiction. And before I got here, it was, you know, I fully believe that the disease of addiction had a hold of me long before I picked up that first drug. The disease of addiction had a hold of me probably after my dad died when I was 7, my mom never remarried, and I was an only child. So, like, I wanted the family, I wanted the brothers and sisters, I wanted the parents, I wanted the dog. My mom wouldn't let me have a dog. So, like, the first drug I really picked up was fantasy, because it helped fill that hole. It helped kill the loneliness. It helped fulfill the dream that I was normal and I was like everybody else. And then the next drug was just like the drugs, like the substance drugs. Like, one is too many, many is never enough, and something starts working, then you gotta put something else in the mix, and then it's better living with the chemistry, and you gotta use this to balance out that, and get more of this. And like, so the next drug was like the people pleasing, because I like needed to fit in, because I didn't accept myself, because I felt like a piece of crap, because I felt like I didn't fit in. My self-esteem was, I don't think that I had any self-esteem. So as I tried to fit in, I lost myself. I never even had a chance to find myself because I was so focused on everything outside. And I was convinced that y'all that were hanging out in the smoking lounges, and you were smoking pot, and you were drinking, and you were having sex, and I couldn't get to do any of those things because I was super overprotective. I was convinced that if I could be like you guys, I would be okay. And that would fix me. So the obsession and compulsion to use was already ingrained in me before I set foot on my college campus. And then it was only a matter of time before I started living out what it talks about in my recent text, where I was doing the geographical cures. I was trying to go to church. I was trying to substitute. I was trying to stop. I remember one time, like, at the end of the road, we went to like one of our neighbors and we were like, you know, how did you stop smoking crap? And she's like, oh, I just smoke pot. I'm like, oh, okay, that sounds reasonable. Like, because I didn't know any, like, I didn't know any better, you know? I moved to Ocean City, like, all of my junior years and everything took me from like Ohio College to Rochester to, I don't know, I ended up in DC and I decided that I wanted to be from, decided that I was to Ocean City. Because my denial was, I'm going to grow out of it. This is what everybody does when you're in your 20s and your 30s, and I was in the restaurant business, so like, that's just what we did. And so when I got to Ocean City, it was only a matter of like, hours before I found a thing that I thought that wasn't there, and that I thought that if I stopped doing that, it was going to be a good thing. And then it was a 4 or 5 year spiral downward. Because I don't know about you guys, but like I have a problem with the word enough. Like, more than 3 days is enough. Like, my bodies weren't enough. The 3 days of TWIs weren't enough. The living in my car wasn't enough. The getting pregnant, which I thought was going to be the thing that changed my life, and then having a miscarriage wasn't enough. Because I tried to stop using and I understand what it means to be part of the group and using it against your will, because I'm like, this life is growing inside of me, and God is blessing with the kid, because that's like part of the blessing, it's like, I wasn't in this 25 kids and the dog and all that stuff that I want to grow up. And I'm going to stop using this group like that, I'm going to go over, I'm just going to go on. And I think that, you know, this turned to me, and it wasn't enough. It was enough to make me go stand up on the 50 bridge and want to jump off, and pray for the courage to jump off. Now we know that we're going to use water, probably like the shallow or whatever. Anyway. And the edge of the road wasn't the Worcester County Sheriff looking for me. It wasn't my mother, who had been going Al-Anon for years and had a black belt and got really good at saying no. Right? Need money? No. You know, she wasn't giving into that dopamine stuff anymore. It was that spiritual bottom line I looked in the mirror. And I didn't know who was looking back at me. My eyes were like bright. And I was like, oh, did you get here? Because the last thing I seem to remember was going away to a college like this one, pre-med, and now I'm like a crackhead and a slut and on a job and I'm living a lifestyle and all I want to do is die. But like the prayers, I'm grateful for the prayers of my family, I'm grateful for the prayers in the circle, because that's really like what God whispered to me, as I have to believe it was the God of my understanding, whispered to me and said, you don't have to live like this anymore. Like, if you want something different, you have to do something different. I had no clue what that different was. But I knew that I couldn't stay where I was. So I called mom, got on a plane, and went home to Rochester, New York, and my clean date is May 20th, 1998. I never found it necessary to go pick up and do more research. I paid attention to the people that did, and I saw the pain. You know, this program has a way of working even when you don't want it to, or when you don't think it's working, it works. You know, and Narcotics Anonymous just gives us one guarantee. The only thing we have to be perfectly around here is not the drug. You don't pick it up, you can't get out. And that's the only thing that I've managed to do perfectly since I got it. You know, we all have one with the drug set one club, and you know, we're training, and you know, we're prototyping that, and you know, we're perfectly awesome. You have balance in your life right now, awesome. So that you have actually meeting, like, I still have more balance than most days. You know, I know that self-society, God, and service is like a table, and I have to have the legs, like if one of those legs is out of whack, the table's gonna wobble. Like, and you know, then I gotta find something to wedge under the other leg, and hopefully it can't be drug. Sometimes, you know, it's the stomach or addiction, like, you know, whatever. It's bad card or whatever. You know, sometimes. But like, it should be, you know, I try to keep the balance so the table doesn't wobble. My table recovery doesn't wobble. So I remember going into my first Narcotics Anonymous meeting, and I try to remember this because I always told you when I got here, you gotta remember your last use. So you don't go out and get another one. And I don't remember even the last time I used. I just remember how I felt when I looked in the mirror. And I said, I don't know. It was all the deep disease words. Degradation, despair, depravity, depression, degradation. I don't know. But all those deep words, isolation, justification, denial, blaming other people, like there was no hope, there was no nothing. You know, and I remember that, and I don't want to ever feel that way again. And then I walked into my first Narcotics Anonymous meeting. I'm so grateful for our literature. I'm so grateful for those readings that we read, because that let me know that I was finally home. That there was hope. That there are other people like me that understood what I had been thinking and feeling my whole entire life, and finally that there was hope. There's a little tiny spark, and that spark of that first meeting went, whoo, into a fire. And y'all continued to fan that fire, to fan that flame of desire as I kept coming back. And I allowed you to flame it, and I allowed you to fan it, because like when I got here, I didn't want to be, I didn't want to stay here. I didn't want to like go hang out in church basements and drink shitty coffee for the rest of my life. It wasn't the plan. Like, I wanted to get enough information, and I was going to go back to Ocean City, and like, God, NA, my sponsor in this whole process had another plan. Because like, when I got here, I didn't have any goals. My only goal was like, get Worcester County off my ass, and let my mom give me money again. That was it. Those were my goals, right? And it was like, far out of all the outside stuff. So, I'm grateful for the literature, guiding principles, awesome book if you haven't checked it out yet. That's tradition. And active addiction, we worked hard to reach goals that left us feeling empty, lost, and dead inside. We got what we needed, no matter the cost to ourselves or those around us. As obsession and compulsion drove us to the bitter ends, we surprised ourselves at what we would do and what we would sacrifice. The more we pursued our goals, the less we felt any sense of purpose at all. The fifth tradition restored purpose to our lives, carrying a simple message to suffering addicts. In service to that purpose, we reach out. We start and support meetings. We walk our talk, work steps, sponsor, care, and share. Our passion for recovery is a constant source of gratitude. When one addict gets clean, we don't stop. We keep reaching out. When 100 or 1,000 or 10,000 addicts get clean, we don't stop. Because there's always an addict dying to hear the NA message. And our message is that any addict can stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way of life. And when we carry our message, when I carry my message, it's that message has come true for me. I stopped using drugs. At some point, I lost the desire to use. I don't know when it happened. Just did. And I found a new way of life. And the new way of life is what I'm grateful for. The new way of life is why I keep coming back. That's the hit. That's my drug of choice right now, is the new way of life. Because the new way of life is great. It's great that I have a job at the beach. It's great that I drive a 4Runner. It's great that I have, you know, bank accounts and 401k and all that shit. And my closet's full of clothes. I'm losing things as to, because like, the downsize love it and I moved. Like, all that stuff is great. But the new way to live has been brought about by the purpose. And living in an attitude of gratitude and putting my gratitude for this program and what I've learned here into action. Whether it's being of service, whether it's picking up the phone at 3 o'clock in the morning when the newcomer calls, whether it's being on a service committee with somebody that I can't stand and listening to them, whether it's forgiving the unforgivable, whether it's going to open my home group, you know, whether it's just sometimes it's something, whether it's trusting God, like that's an action. You know, that's an action, is just sitting still and trusting God and having faith that this stuff is going to work. You know, I know that I lost the desire to use because at 5 years clean, my mom died, and that was my reservation. I was like, I don't know what's going to happen. She's the only person that, you know, has ever offered me unconditional love. I'm still not married. I don't know if she's 25 kids. I don't have a dog. Like, I don't know what's going to happen when my mom died. And it was sudden, and Annie showed up, and I didn't want to use. All I wanted to do was go to a meeting. All I wanted to do was be with my NA family. All I wanted to do was, like, just go share about it. And I knew at that point that the desire to use it was lifted. I also knew at that point that I had some fun to do. And that I had to invest in my membership in Narcotics Anonymous. Because I didn't do this program quickly. I told you that. I waltzed through the steps. For the first 5 or 6 years. Because I would get to certain parts of the four step that I didn't want to look at, especially the relationship section. Because I had the toxic relationship thing going on. I had the drug of choice, which had two legs, wore a black leather jacket and had a ponytail. And I didn't want to look at it. Because what I found out here is once you know something, you can't unknow it. And if you can't unknow it and you don't do anything about it, guess what? It starts to cause some real pain in the manageability of it. Like curled up in the field kind of thing. And that kind of came to a head at the same time that my mom died. There had been a lot of toxicity and a lot of stuff. Because I met him when I was 6 months clean. And I'm grateful, because sometimes gifts come, I'm grateful for the gifts, they come wrapped in certain packages, in unlifted packages. But we ended up putting our gratitude in action to serving on our regional convention probably about 2 years ago. Side by side, we drive crazy, we butt heads, we got to kick out of wagons, and that's a whole other story. And, you know, you guys taught me gratitude in action is sometimes pretty unforgivable. And putting principles before personalities. And because of step work, because I invested in step work, I invested in the transformation process after my mom died, and I realized, like, I don't want to live like this anymore. I don't want to have a two-legged drug anymore. And sometimes a two-legged drug is hard to give up because, like, when you detox from a drug, you know how long it's going to last. But when you detox from a two-legged drug, you got to know, like, the flu, how it's going to feel, what you're going to go through, and how long it's going to last. You just kind of got to hang on and, like, roll with it. And that's what I did. I rolled with it, and I rolled with it the right way. I rolled and get under somebody who to get over him. I got under, you know, I picked up a pen, and I started writing, and I started applying the steps and going through that transformation process. And, you know, that process allowed me to serve side by side with him for 10 years. And a month ago today, and I didn't think, like, sometimes you just think people are going to be here forever. Like, they're not going to go anywhere. Like, they're invisible, and nothing is going to take them out. It was that person. Like, you know what I'm talking about, and you're never certain when you're known, and you know that he is obstinate and ornery, and I'm like, there's no way in hell God is going to take him. And I didn't know that I would feel so deeply. And I didn't realize the lessons and the big part that he played in the transformation of my life and in my recovery and how much that he had taught me. I'm so grateful for that relationship and how it transformed my life and transformed my recovery and it taught me so much. And I'm clearly in my life to take a moment of silence for those people that have lost. Was one person that taught me how to put gratitude in action as well. You know, when I was looking up terms, I looked up gratitude because I'm, you know, a literature person. I'm like, I think I know everything there is to know about everything sometimes, especially, I don't know, like 2 to 5 years, I knew everything. Everything. And I look up words and I look up the literature and sometimes I get twisted. I get twisted. Like, I have these things and you know, I'm twisting up sometimes and I think some things and sometimes you find some interesting shit. It's like why I continue to like go to the literature. Like, I remember I was sitting in my home group, like, I don't know, a couple years ago and it was the one in Houston, it's an intercept meeting and 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3 and like I read the first step like 9,000 times and like the sentence directed to jump right off the page and I was like, where did that come from? So I like to go back to the literature and write myself up. So when I was looking up the definition of gratitude, which is probably being thankful for the readiness to show appreciation for or return kindness, readiness also means willingness, willing to act on my gratitude. Now, I also found something else on Google. There's 3 stages of gratitude. One is feeling grateful for the good things. Hopefully, what you guys have taught me, what Narcotics Anonymous is talking, is like, I need to feel grateful for the bad things. Like, you know, the whole charity, and like, life and life's going to show up, and what's going to happen when that happens. But it's not always happy jokes and free unicorns and rainbows and all that shit around here, because stuff happens. 2 is express gratitude to others. So, like, I have to be willing to take that gratitude and share it with others, whether it's with a nice sponsor, whether it's people in my home group, whether it's people, you know, the person that, like, nobody wants to talk to my home group that I go up and hug. You know, whether it's the person that I hold the door for at, like, Roco or Wawa, you know what I mean? Like, I take what I learn in here and I try to get outside and I try to express my gratitude in many ways. And the 3rd thing, the key thing that really hit me was it's adopting who became as a result. because the reality is, having that attitude of gratitude and doing that internalization of gratitude, and super gratitude was an affirmation that my sponsors had me do in that first 2 years that I was clean and I thought was bullshit and I didn't want to do it, this is stupid and I don't want to do it. It's really hard to do an affirmation when you first get clean and you're here. I don't know if anybody's had to do it. My sponsor was like, you need to look at yourself in the mirror for 2 minutes. I'm like, oh, I'll do that. She's like, no, no makeup, no hair, you're just going to look into your eyes. And I told you that when I got here, I couldn't even look in the mirror. That was when I got here. So it's a process. And like, it's those kind of things that have transformed my life into adoptive behaviors as a result of expressing the gratitude, which you guys have taught me to do around here. You know, and I wish that I could say that, like, that time was, like, you know, gratitude has kept me here, because there was a time that I just thought, whatever, I don't need to be here anymore, you know. So, like, if you're one of those people in here, you're one of those, like, sometimers, maybe I don't need to be here anymore, talks about it in our literature, I remember when I read The Living Queen, there's a paragraph in there that it says something about, like, when we feel like we don't need to be here anymore, when meetings bore us, when we feel like we just want to go, we need to be honest about it. Like, part of my gratitude in sharing and caring the NA way, like it says on our medallion, is sharing my true authenticity. And because our best value is in being ourselves. So the best message that I have to carry is me, the good and the bad. You know, it's hard to come in here sometimes and sit with some clean time and say, I've had suicidal ideation for, like, months. I'm back in that place where I'm in a fetal position. Because when I had 12 or 13 years clean, you know, the dream showed up, and sometimes the disease shows up in everything that you've always wanted. There was the dog and the boat and all that other stuff, and I thought that it was going to work, and I wanted it to work, and other people thought that it was going to work, and other people thought that it was going to work, so it was going to work, right? Because I wanted it to work. I forgot about God's will. Cindy's will kicked in, and when Cindy's will kicks in, the defects have the jailbreak, and they start running rampant, and then it's self-willed and doing what I want to do to get what I want, to, you know, what it, you know, whatever that is, and this was this relationship. And the wheels fell off the bus, and she was 15 years younger, and I had stopped holding meetings, and I had stopped putting my gratitude in action, and I didn't put my mom to step. My basic text might have been in the next effect, in the wall, like dust, and I stopped calling my mom's because she was probably sick of hearing something get over and over and over. And I ended up back in the place. And I ended up working back in the mirror. We stepped up, we were so responsible. We felt good to be in the mirror. After beating my head into the door jamb of my bedroom, because the cell phone was worse than it was when I got there. And look in the mirror and say, oh, it's better again. Didn't you learn anything? So I thought, you know, my year 7 started, it was just like, oh, all my defects were going to go away. And I thought, you know, I didn't have to touch it on the post, because that's not me. But, you know, I'm trying to take a break from service. I can take a break from family meetings. And that's what happens to me when I'm not involved and I'm not engaged daily in my recovery. People in my life that are like, I'm just looking at the news. Like, not the news. I don't know, we have all news. If you're like, here's the thought, and here's the decision, and there's lots of other things in between. But it's not about that anymore. I don't want to be motivated by pain anymore. You know, I want to be motivated by the growth. And I want my life to continue to change. Because again, gifts come wrapped in strange packages, and once I got to the other side of the fetal position and beating my head up against the wall, because I went back to the basics. My sponsor says you don't have to go back to basics if you don't need the basics. Okay. know, and that was the year of the Philadelphia convention, and I wasn't going to go, and I went to that convention, and like the Living Clean book came out, and I was one of those people that like the world's just trying to make more money, we need to do more literature, blah, 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 blah. And then I read a book. And I'm telling you that book, every time there's something going on, I go to that book and I read it. Because like the answers in the answer's always in the literature and with each other. And through that process, you know, right after that happened, I moved over here to the Bay Area. You know, and it was at that point, it was in my area, so in my area, a lot of our clubhouse built here, it was like also at Gates Fonzie's. You know, because there wasn't a lot of good time over here. I don't know if it was and had like the most good time. I do not like this feeling. I don't. I mean, it was like a good feeling. You know? And I had to put, you know, and that was an opportunity to put gratitude into action. And by putting gratitude into action and utilizing everything that I had learned through that dark growing period and the more revelations that came with that, more of those more layers of the onion, and looking deeper, getting to know myself better, and like making amends to myself. Because like the first time I made amends to myself, I was like, yeah, whatever. Like, you know, like I made a deeper amends to myself. I got a deeper understanding of, you know, of the steps and of myself, and like I reached that point, I got a deeper understanding without my understanding. You know, because like it was always kind of like I figured I knew who him was, I figured out who him was, but I didn't really surrender till I went through that period on that deeper level. And I didn't really get to that 11th step understanding where I can sit content and quiet with or without filling the blank. I didn't know that one of the gifts of this program was going to be emotional and spiritual maturity. I didn't know that one of the gifts of this program is to be able to look in the mirror today and go, how the hell did you get here? Like, I'm grateful. I mean, every time, like, I was at a beach meeting, I was meeting on a beach, there was a Wednesday night meeting in Virginia Beaches in, like, North Carolina, whatever, and, you know, it's like every time I walk out of my house, like, I literally live, like, across the drive and I'm on the beach. Like, do you understand, like, I'm a beach farmer, okay? So, like, that still doesn't eclipse like the internal stuff, but still, I like walk out and I'm blown away. Like every time I drive over the water, ride the water, see the water, see the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel, whatever, I'm like, I've been living in the beach. This is how good I've been at the beach. You know, and none of that would have been possible without my Christ moms. None of that would have been possible without. I can't stay here without giving away. And so when people ask me, like, why do you keep going to those meetings? Well, because I have to, like, stay here. I have to give it away because that's the way that it works. And because I still need stuff. On any given day, I'm still the sick and suffering addict. I need to be the recipient of somebody's gratitude. And I'm not one of those people that likes to ask for help and take whatever. And I remember being at a convention and someone said some literature to somebody said that somebody wanted to do something and I'm not going to do that. And they're like, why are you denying them the blessing of helping me? And I'm like, oh, I never thought of that. Because the disease still hasn't been somebody who's like, no matter what this, like, I can't do this. Like, I, you know, I'm going to call Kevin for this blessing. I've got a long person. Like, I was seeing the pictures of a thing last night, and I'm like, oh my god, this person here, 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 holy crap, I can't. You know, but why not? Why not? Because we're all, like Elizabeth said, we're all just looking for drug addicts. We're all just trying to get another thing clean. We're all just trying to spread gratitude in our own hearts. That's all it is. To help that continue to happen and keep doors open. When we went into COVID, here's another thing I'll be super grateful for. Over the last year and a half, I don't know how long it's been, as long as we're here, when stuff started to shut down, I'm grateful that we as a fellowship are resilient and we persevere. I'm grateful for the people that continue to have in-person renegade meetings or apply to whatever their facility had to do. I'm grateful because there's some people that just didn't connect with Zoom or virtual, I don't want to call it Zoom, on a virtual platform. There are some people that just didn't. And I get that. And I'm grateful for the people that were willing to either take risks to their personal self or said, screw it, this is what we need to do. We continued our products and offers no matter what. We're not going to shut the door. I'm going to put up a Billy bonfire in my backyard. We're going to go meet the church parking lot. We're going to do whatever. I'm also grateful for the people that figured out the whole virtual thing and started virtual meetings because I don't know about you, it opened up a whole entire world of recovery for me. It kept me connected. I was in that spot again where, like, whatever, I got to move. I'm not connected to my area because I've been traveling around the world, I've been in the country. I'm not connected to my home group. And, like, you know, thank God that, you know, conventions are my thing. I love to meet people. I ride the base, run sides because I want that vibrant freedom. And I meet a lot of people. And, like, some of my friends from Long Island started this meeting, and it wasn't supposed to be going since March 2020, but it's been going since March 2020. So we have this marathon meeting, and people from all over the world, with all different lengths of clean time, serve on this meeting. It's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And our virtual option is another tool now that I have as another weapon against the disease. Because if I get in my head, 3 o'clock in the morning, I can turn the heat on. If my work schedule prevents me from getting to a meeting, I can turn my meeting on. If I get sick of hearing the same old shit in the area, again, and don't tell me that no one here can relate to that, I can go to a meeting in California or New Jersey or Philippines, right? So, and I'm telling you, I'm grateful for the therapy value and people bring their gratitude and action because keeping that platform going is no joke. We have like 60, 70 trusted servants. Our record business meeting was like 4 hours long. I mean, it's crazy. We got a schedule, people are changing, we have speakers, and I do a traditions meeting. If anybody wants to speak on the traditions for Friday, Thursday, and Tuesday night, hit me up. You know, and there's a bunch of newcomers in there. There's people in there that have a year clean and have never sat in a chair in a meeting. Never sat in a chair in a meeting. Because the therapeutic value and putting our gratitude in action works. And it works through a freaking computer screen, and it works in a meeting, and it works when we just chair in a chair. Just continue to show up. So, like, you know, you're tiny and you're good, you're like, I don't know, you want to, please stay. If you're new and you're not sure if you want to be here, you want to learn to do occupations and your business for the rest of your life, please stay. This is like the greatest show on earth. This is the greatest gift. What we learn here and what we get here and what we can give here is the greatest show on earth. Living our principles. You know, this is how I built this junkyard in me. Because this is the different story. Our understanding of the steps deepen and we start to see the possibilities they offer in new ways. Like how they apply to my life in new ways. Because I don't know about you, but the disease of addiction has infiltrated every single area of my life. Every single area of my life. The more we trust, the more our eyes open. The more I trust the fellowship, the more I trust the God of my understanding, the more I trust my sponsor, the more I trust my sponsees, the more I trust my network, the more I trust this process, the more I can look back on the fetal position and I'm like, hey, I survived that. And I got some growth out of that. We're no longer so focused on what is wrong with us, we start to shift our attention to the assets we have and the hope that we can see in ourselves. Sometimes I don't see the hope in myself a lot. I don't know if you guys can believe it or not, but like, I just think I'm just here and I'm existing, I'm just a person sitting in a chair and whatever. You know, and it still blows my mind. It gets me emotional. You know, it's emotional sometimes. It's still hard to take those compliments, and it's still hard to take those heartfelt, like, you matter. Like, you know, I like to hear, like, people in my life, you don't have anybody in your life telling you that you matter, and that you make a difference in their life, and they like seeing your social media posts, or they like the way that you do this, or they like the way that you do that, or they don't, they tell you that they love you. Like, get from the people. So I realize that here too. Sometimes you got to change people voices and things in recovery. Because not everybody's on the same growth pattern. It doesn't mean that I'm better than, it just means that, like, sometimes when I level up, I have to get people that are going to challenge me to the next level. And I'm super grateful for those people. I'm grateful that God puts people in my life, takes people out, and puts people in my life that's going to take me to the next level. Because, like, complacency is no longer a thing that I want in my life anymore. No longer a thing. And I'm working on that because I think complacency is still going to come back from shit yet. And I still haven't unpacked it all yet. Procrastination is one of my defects. That's one of them. More and more we are driven by hope rather than fear. The gratitude we feel grows from a relief at not having to use today to genuine appreciation for our lives as they are and as they can be. I'm super excited to see what God has in store for me. I mean, there's still not the 2.5 kids and the husband and whatever. But, like, I don't know what God has in store for me. I can look back. Like, I started keeping a gratitude journal and a God book, like, early on in recovery so that when I get into those spots, that, like, this shit isn't working. And God, where are you? And how dare you do this to me? And I get in those situations where I'm cussing God out. I can go back and say, no, Lord, God did that. And you thought that that was bad, but it was actually good. And he pulled him out of your life and saved you from that. I remember, like, my first God moment was in front of my chair. So, my first God moment, I had 90 days clean. I was going to work at Wegmans in Rochester. And I was late, because whatever. Because I was a man who only had 90 days clean. And I'm driving down the road, and I'm like, and there's traffic, and there's construction, and I'm still self-centered, and they're fucking doing construction because it's bears for my day up. It's just like when people cut me off, did that just to piss me off, because I'm self-centered, and I'm all up in my, you know what, and this truck, I'm like, God, where are you? And this truck rolled by and said, G-O-D. I was like, oh. That'll overnight delivery, but like, settled me right down. And I was able to go into work and not come out of the side of my head and not cuss people out and be on time. Well, not on time, but like, you know, not. I don't know. Like, sometimes when I'm late, I come in and I'm like, all whatever. You know, I want to make a big deal and I want to blame everybody else, and it's really my fault if I didn't do my time, right? So, anyway, I remember, oh, sorry, from a little thing. When we put gratitude into action, we see the world differently. If I'm living in an attitude of gratitude, because sometimes, like, I gotta change my perspective for the next, not just for today, sometimes for the next hour, sometimes for the next 5 minutes, sometimes for the next 30 seconds, I have to get that perspective change, and it's usually, like, I've trained myself, thanks to my sponsor, that, you know, that's just, there's certain things, like when you stick and stay and I continue to do stuff and I do the repetition, I keep coming back and hear stuff in meetings and you see, like, it just becomes a part of you. Like, I don't know if, like, anyone can relate to that, but, like, recovery becomes a part of who I am. Like, I can't even imagine leaving right now and going anyplace else. Like, this is home. Like, I do stuff outside here. I do, like, you know, another spiritual thing outside here. And they're like, well, you should go to those meetings. I'm like, well, because, like, because we get it, and we have this language in there, we have it, it's the therapeutic value. I'm so grateful for the therapeutic value. Our hearts break from the sense of wonder we experience in our own lives as
if we are seeing them for the first time, brings an array of feelings. Every time I walk out, I feel like I'm losing them. Our hearts break for the harm that we have caused, while at the same time we are filled with joy and gratitude for the gift of recovery. I wish that you didn't do a lot of the things that I've done. I wish that I would have showed up maybe for my mom more. I wish for the last couple years that maybe I should have showed up for my family more. Because I'm human and I can't do this perfectly, and I still, you know, cause harm, and there's the harm in the past, but you know, when it does, it's all those experiences that get me where I am today. And I'm grateful for the gift of recovery and the principles and the steps and the traditions and the guidance that I get from people in here and my network in here, because that truly does bring joy. And it's hard to find, I learned in here to find joy and peace in the storm. When everything is falling apart, when I'm in that fetal position, Narcotics Anonymous and the steps and the spiritual principle of gratitude that taught me that it's going to be okay, just sit still, everything is still okay. As long as I don't give up, I got a shot, and everything's going to be okay. So, you know, I don't know, I'm so incredibly grateful. I'm so glad, again, like I said, I'm so glad to be able to mention. I'm going to close with this. That is back to this tradition of guiding principles. Narcotics Anonymous has grown from a training to a worldwide fellowship because so many members, inspired by a sense of purpose, a new sense of purpose, not following this new sense of purpose, but like, let's go see some lack sense of purpose, have given freely to make recovery a reality all over the world. Mm-hmm. All over the world. Like, and I ran. Like, I remember when I first came in, that I ran to their first convention, it was like 8,000 people, and they didn't even, like, advertise, they just handed some flyers out. Like, NA, like, NAS had to go over and set up a service box over there, because, like, it just... The therapy we got in the industry works. Our hope grows as we see the program in action. Our willingness grows as we've seen experience in the miracle of recovery, all its extraordinary diversity. Diversity isn't just, like, the color, the sex, and the gender. Diversity is our backgrounds. Diversity is the way we serve. Diversity is the way we sponsor. Diversity is like the friends we have, the things we do. Some people want to do diversity, some people want to do circadians. Great. That's our diversity. That's what makes this fellowship colorful, alive, and it works. And I always say, like, the program is perfect, the fellowship is a shit show, but it's a shit show that works. We're all at different levels of whatever, but it works. It works. Instead of chasing empty goals, today we are driven by a sense of purpose. Gratitude and action is needed for change. As we carry the message, however it is that we do that on any given day, in any given moment, our lives transform. The Living Queen talks about gratitude as an action word. So the Living Queen talks about love is also an action word. And anytime the message is carried, anytime we do service, we need to do it in a spirit of love, a posture from the heart. Not out of ego, not of like, I want to sit in front of you, the chair. If you want to sit in front of you, the chair, because you think you're going to be in charge or not. Because, like, you have your own opinion, you can't do whatever you think you want to do. You just, whatever. So, that's what we're going to do. The Living Queen also talks about in that chapter at the end, when it talks about love, that love is an action word. Gratitude is inspired by love. Love for the fellowship, love for recovery, and now it's love for myself, and it's love for the God of my understanding. It's love for the way to pull right to the table, self-society, service, and God. And like, as long as I have backed up my love, like, I mean, that's the way that I need to keep giving from love, is love and gratitude. And in the Living Queen, it talks about how when we change, this is one of my favorite lines. Brilliance comes through us. And when brilliance comes through us and we act in gratitude, we act in love, and we stay here no matter what, and we don't use, we shine, and we can be the light for somebody that's suffering, even if it's somebody that has free time, doesn't have clean time, that didn't get work, that doesn't know where to go, that may be in recovery, that doesn't know where to go. When we let our light shine, out there in the world. Like, we can, like, the real pandemic is the disease of addiction. And when our brilliant shines, we can be that light for one more person. We put our gratitude in action, we can be the light for that still sick and suffering addict. When I recovered loudly,